Good. I just want to encourage you, brothers, who shared there. You know, there's an enthusiasm and an availability that God wants us to have. And you imparting something to the men. And I believe that God is calling men in this season of where we are to arise. I want to say that prophetically to the men, that God is calling men. Before, you know, we've seen, when I go to churches, I see 2/3 ladies, 1/3 men, sometimes 75% ladies and 25% men. But I believe God is changing that ratio, and He's calling men to say, come on, we can do it. Because when men take the lead in social affairs, in business, in the Lord, things change. We men carry an authority in God, which, you know, and I'm not saying this to say that the ladies don't. They do carry an authority, but men are called to take an authoritative place in the workplace, in their homes, in their families. And when we do that, we change the spiritual atmosphere, and God comes in a way that can change people's lives, can change families, can change destinations of where people are going, because we take the lead. And I want to say God is calling us to gather together as men so that He can impart into us the spirit that He's called us to rise up into. And I really believe that's key for men. And we, if we can multiply ourselves here into other men's lives, you know the effect that it's going to have in the nation of New Zealand. And I'll give you an example. I met a man. I was traveling to South Africa about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when my dad was very sick. And when I was walking in the Perth airport, I sort of identified the man as being on the same flight, and I walked up to him and I just felt to share with him that I was going over to South Africa and that there was a problem. My dad was very ill and I was going to pray for him and just see that he was okay. And he started sharing that he was going because his dad was on his deathbed and also ready to die. So there was something in common, and he ran a business, a orthodontic business in Auckland, and he was had a thriving business, but also a believer. So there's something that I saw there that I connected with him. And we said, we'll go and pray. We'll start a prayer time when we get back to Auckland, because he wanted prayer for his parents. So we went ahead and we met after 2 or 3 weeks, and we found each other up and we started praying on a Friday morning in his business in Howick in Auckland. And there were two of us, and then we prayed, and he shared with somebody, and another man came, and I shared, and another 2 or 3 men started coming. We ended up with a fellowship on a Friday morning of 12 men that came, and we just reached men by sharing the gospel or wherever we went, and we said, we're praying, if you've got needs, come on a Friday and we can fellowship. And we met at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we prayed until 7:15 every morning. And that just came out of a contact that we had, and we shared the Lord, and we had something in common, and we said, let's pray for our families, let's pray for the businesses that we're in, that we're involved in, and any other personal needs that are there. And we became transparent with one another. I want to say that to you, men, we need to be transparent with one another. If there are things that we've got to deal with in our lives, let's have a brother that we can share with and say, I need prayer now, I need some fellowship, I need some counsel. Will you counsel me? Will you help me? And we have become accountable to one another because we open to the Spirit of God moving in our lives through our brothers. And as we do that as men, and we learn to touch one another, God can use our brothers and sisters to sharpen us to be the men that He's called us to be. So what came out of that fellowship? We touched families, we touched businesses. Certain men that were coming, the one man, his wife just up and left him, and we were able to minister to him and then get to his wife and minister to her and bring reconciliation. The one man, his son got involved in drugs and really went through a terrible time. We were able to draw the family together, pray for the son and encourage the family and help him break free of that. And but, you know, it's when the men come together and we touch one another that it makes a real impact. So I want to say to you, get together, keep your fellowships going, and reach other men just by sharing the simple, you know, testimony of who we are in God. It makes such an impact. And I want to just encourage you, because I believe we mustn't be, the word that came to me as my brother was sharing, I'll just share with you very briefly before I talk to you a little bit about the voice of God, is that, you know, when Jonah got the message from God, arise and go to Nineveh, he said, because their wickedness has come before me. God was speaking to Jonah to go and do something that he didn't want to do. Jonah was an Israelite and he didn't want to go to Nineveh because he felt that they were of a different race. They were Gentiles. And who was he as an Israelite to go as a prophet into that nation and tell them to repent? He said, God, that's not for me to do. And I want to say that to us because often we let prejudice come in and stop us from sharing the gospel and bringing people to Christ. Now, he argued with God and he thought he'd follow the Lord. He'd follow his own direction before he follows the Lord. So he got onto a ship and he decided he'll go to the Mediterranean, have a good time on the Sunshine Coast there and enjoy the pleasures of life. But you know, the storm came on the ship and we know that as the storm started arising, God spoke to the captain of that boat and he said to him, you know, through God can use a non-believer to speak to us. And God used that non-believer to speak to Jonah because he was in the boat asleep and God went down to him. And the second word arise came from that captain. He said to him, you sleeper, what are you doing there? He said, arise and come forth and pray to your God. See, so suddenly Jonah knew that God was on his case. And of course, he had to reveal why he was there because they wanted to know from him why he was in the boat. And he said, well, I'm running away from God. And often we want to run away from what God's asked us to do. And we like that as men. We want to take the easy way out. But so God spoke to him, you know, through these you know, simple sailors. And they knew that the only way the storm could be calmed was throw him overboard. And the fish came along. And we know that Jonah was in the fish belly for 3 days. And then, you know, in that time when he was in the pit, when he was in darkness, that's when God speaks to us. He starts speaking into our hearts. And he repented. He cried out to God, it says. He cried out and God heard his cry. God delivered him on the beach and then he still had to go all the way up to Nineveh to go and, you know, speak to the people. And he started a simple message. Repent for, you know, God has come, you know, repent unless, if you do not repent, God will come upon you and judge you. And it says the people heard and the king even heard and they came to a place of repentance. And, you know, but God spoke to him the third time. When he landed on that beach, God said to him, arise and go. Sometimes God's got to speak to us 3 times before we'll listen. So let's pray that our hearts will be open when God says to us, evangelize those around us as men in business and in your neighborhood. Let's be obedient because that's what impacts the nation. And, you know, it was, you know, God had to deal with that prophet because not that he wasn't a prophet, but he wanted to be disobedient. And I'll say to you, obedience is better than sacrifice. So when God starts speaking to you about the people that are coming and knocking or living next door to you, that you've got to go and knock on their door, be obedient. Start that chapter. Start that fellowship that God's saying, when men get together, things will start changing. So, you know, one of the incredible things I find about being obedient to God is when you commit certain things to the Lord. You know, and I'll talk a little bit about family because often we feel responsible for family, and we are. You know, my daughter just got married last weekend to a lovely Kiwi man who's a pastor in a church in Christchurch, is a music director, and they met at Hillsong a year ago. And my daughter's 28 years of age. But I can tell you, from the age of 16, I had to pray often for my daughter. And I had to get on my knees at times and cry out to God that she would be the woman that he's called her to be. The enemy came many times to try and steal her life and disrail what God had for her. And I can tell you now with hindsight, and I can look back, that she's now married to a godly man and she's got a real prophetic calling on her life. But if I never stood in the gap and prayed for her, the enemy would have taken her out. There were times when God would give me a specific vision and purpose for her life that I would see, and I would go and I would pray for her, or I'd go and warn her about things that were about to come. She met a young man who was in South Africa, who the two of them went to school together, and they knew each other well, and he came to see her in New Zealand, and the relationship was starting to form, but I felt there was something wrong there. He went to England to serve as a pastor in a church, an Anglican church. He was had a heart for God. And my daughter was over there, and the Lord spoke to me in a dream one night and said, go and warn your daughter that this relationship is not from God. You know, when you get a word and you try and tell your daughter that, hey, not a good idea. But it prevailed. I met with her. I was in England, and I had to go through to Germany on some business for a company. But I met her in the restaurant the day before. I was going to miss her because I only had a short time with her, and then this young man, Jason, came with her. We had a meal. So I didn't have long time to talk to her, but I said, I need to see you. So I changed my flight the next day, and I said, I'll see you the next morning before the flight in the restaurant where just around the corner from where she stayed. And I said to her, I believe the Lord is saying to me that this man is going to hurt you, that he's not honorable to keep the promise that he's given you. And she found it hard to receive that. And I said, but I want to say to you, you need to hear me. You're going to get hurt if you do not pull the plug on this now. So I'm saying to you, say to him, you want time. You're not ready for this. So she went back and she obeyed that word and she said to the man, I'm not ready for this. You know, we found out about 3 or 4 weeks later that he was actually seeing somebody else in the church who was a married lady. But you see, the Lord warned me that, and you know, even though it was she was hurt, the hurt stopped the relationship from continuing before it became a major problem. So I say to you, men, pray for your families because God will reveal through you the purpose that he has for them. So I want to say to you, we as men hear from God more often than what we realize. So I want to talk to you a little bit about your perception gift, about the discernment that God has given us as men. God has given us the ability to hear more often than what we realize. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the 9 gifts of the Spirit and say to you, we can cultivate a desire to be used of God if we so desire. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. God's only talking about one gift through the Spirit there, that's prophecy. But I believe that principle applies to every gift. Now there are 9 gifts, 3 that say something, 3 that do something, and 3 that reveal something. The 3 that say something, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. Those that do something, healing, miracles, and faith. Those that reveal something, the revelation gifts of God, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. God has given us those 9 beautiful gifts, and all of us that are baptized in the Spirit of God will have the ability to function in those gifts. But what Paul says to us right in the beginning of 1 Corinthians 14 is that we must pursue love. That means the love that we have for our brothers and sisters is important motivation to have. So if I've got love for you, I want the very best for you in God. When I minister sometimes with compassion, it's a compassion not from me, it's from God. And the Lord wants me to impart compassion, and I say to you, let the love of God flow through you, because if you allow love to flow, you can't get it wrong. Love is a motivation that will set men, that will open their hearts so that God can come in by His Spirit to bring restoration upon them. And 1 Corinthians 13 is Paul's letter of love to us. If you can read that, you know, if we do not have love, we become like a sounding gong, he says. And you know, we make a lot of noise, but we don't have love. Love is, you know, honest. Love is pure. Love is not impatient. He tells you all about the characteristics of the fruit of love in 1 Corinthians 13. And because of time, I won't read them all out to you, but I'll just say to you, if you really want to know how to move in compassion, I'll tell you a few of them. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It means don't let pride come in and stop the gifts of God from flowing. Because the greatest, God talks about pride often in Scripture, and it's the greatest sin he talks about. But humility is the greatest virtue. So God wants us to have a spirit of humility. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. That's us. You know, if we've got a humble spirit, God can talk through us. You know, love is not rude. It doesn't behave rudely. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. We are the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So He wants to flow through us to bring truth. And then Paul says, desire spiritual gifts. The word desire is the word zealous, to be zealous for the things of God. See, as our brother was stirring us up, he's zealous to see men come to the knowledge of God. And if we've got that same enthusiasm to be zealous, to be used of God, the Holy Spirit has given us gifts so that those are our ability to minister with the compassion and the insight that the Holy Spirit is giving us. So when we give the Holy Spirit preeminence in our meeting, you know, through the spirit-filled body of Christ, he starts functioning, he starts flowing, he starts talking. And when that happens, we don't have an agenda. The Holy Spirit's agenda comes in. And that's what we're trying to relate to you. Let him be the agenda that flows through you. So when you see somebody in the supermarket and the Holy Spirit says, go and encourage that man because he's going through a difficult time and he needs to be lifted up. Listen to that voice and obey it. You know, we can only be foolish for God. You know, and sometimes we feel that way. But just extend yourself and say, God, speak to me. We were recently in Taupo, and we were looking at a section in Taupo, my wife and I, and we looked in the paper and we saw this advert, a developer selling it. So we asked the developer if he would meet us there to go and have a look. It's a simple example. We arrived there, my wife and I, and he was in his vehicle, and he took us up into this paddock, and there were a number of sections there, and we drove up onto the hill to have a better view. And while we were standing looking at the section, the Lord said to me, tell that man it's time to come out of the desert. Now, I looked at him and I thought, he doesn't look like he's been in the desert. He looked fat and flat and flourishing to me. So I said, now I'm talking to the Lord and he's blabbing away about the section and all that. And I said, okay. So I sort of turned and I sort of faced him. And I said, I need to encourage you. I said, I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying to me, it's time to come out of the desert. And I saw his head jump up and, you know, he sort of had eye contact. I said, you've been in the desert too long and the Lord wants you to come out. He said, he's called you as a man that's going to shape the burnt stones and put them back as living stones into the wall of the church again and create, you know, help men create the atmosphere in the church again. Because you've been burnt and you've been hurt, God wants to restore you so that you will function again and be the man that he's called you to be. And this man looked at me and I could see the tears come in his eyes. And at that point I could keep on because I knew that I'd struck the very chord that he was struggling with. And I encouraged him further. And then I looked at his wife and I said to her, you know, she was talking to Linda and I sort of interrupted and I said, God's called you, you know, to come forth. I said, you've been like a turkey, you know, and that's what I saw, that picture of a turkey. And I said, God's calling you to be an eagle, to soar again with him and to move in the spirit. He's called you to be a spirit-filled woman. And this lady just looked at me. The tears rolled up, and I said, but God's saying it's not too late to go on for him. And she's, you know, her and her husband came together and said, you know, we were youth pastors in a Baptist church. And the leader fell into sin, and it separated the church. And we got hurt because they picked on the youth, and some of the youth were separated. And we left the church because there was such an offense in the church because the leader just handled the thing so badly because of the sin that he was in. And she says, that was 10 years ago. We haven't heard a prophetic word for 10 years. God hasn't spoken to us for 10 years. That's their perception of, you know, God was speaking, but they weren't hearing. He said, this is the first time we've heard a word to encourage us. I want to say to you, church, they asked us to come back to their home 3 months later, and we had fellowship. They said they're going to have a few friends around. Let's have a time of fellowship. When we got there, there were 45 people in their home. So, I mean, we had church. We had a wonderful time of fellowship and encouragement. There was a lady from Russia there that I shared a word with her, and I said to her, God has brought you to this nation to heal you, but he doesn't want you to get mixed up with the wrong people. She found us about 6 months ago, but she was in contact, or she's in a relationship with a man where she was getting hurt. She said, your word I remembered from 2 years ago where you said, watch out for the relationship. So we were able to help her restore her relationship in God so that she didn't get hurt and burnt. So God wants to use each one of us if we will just stop to listen, church, and we can do that. There are so many examples in Scripture where God talks. God talks through the supernatural circumstances around us. He used a rooster to speak to Peter. And you know, when God said to Peter, you will deny me 3 times, but when that rooster crows, you will know that you've denied me. And of course, Peter cursed and carried on and said, no, that will never happen to me, Lord. But God used the rooster, supernatural impartation of hearing. Peter heard the rooster and he recognized that. I think it was in Matthew 8:74 where it says, and he heard the rooster and he realized that God was speaking to him. You see, and there are other examples in Scripture where God spoke through the donkey. Now, I want to say to you, I'm giving you those examples because you must think outside the box. God doesn't always use you know, the normal day-to-day stuff. He uses circumstances that are sometimes outside our parameter of thinking when he speaks to us. And Balaam was on that donkey, but God spoke to him first and said, Balaam, I do not want you to prophesy against Israel. But of course he got disobedient because he had the option of getting some money, and you know, money can be the wrong motivation sometimes, and he was on his donkey going down the road, and of course the donkey saw the angel first. And the donkey moved to one side to avoid the angel that was carrying the sword, and it squashed his foot against the side, and Balaam kicked the donkey, and he wasn't happy with it. The second time, the donkey, he was going down a narrow part. This is in Numbers 22, and the donkey squashed the side of his leg, and of course he got angry and he kicked the donkey again. But then as the donkey went down a very narrow part where there was nowhere for the donkey to turn, the donkey fell down on its legs and squashed him. And of course then Balaam was really mad and he kicked the donkey. And that's when the donkey spoke to him. Interesting thing that, you know, you read on in scripture that says the donkey was actually a female. It wasn't a male. And this donkey said to him, what have you been doing to me? What are you doing to me? Because I've been your donkey for so long. I've been a faithful donkey. And the Lord used that donkey to make him see that he was being stubborn and he was being hard-headed with a heart that would not listen to the Spirit of God. So I want to say to us men, what stops our hearts from hearing, our ears from hearing, is our heart condition. God is interested in our heart. You know, is our heart pliable? Is it flexible? Are we available and sensitive to the Spirit of God? And I say, when I look at a lot of ladies, they are very sensitive in the area of the Spirit because they give themselves to the Spirit. They open themselves up, and I don't believe we have to spend hours in prayer. But we need our quiet time in the morning, our time of commune with God. So when God speaks to you in the Logos Word, you know that the Logos Word is the Word of God. But when God gives you a rhema out of the Logos, out of His Word, the rhema Word jumps at us, it speaks to us, it says something about what God wants to say in our lives. We take note, we write it down. And, you know, often I write that down. When God speaks to me, I write it down in my diary all the time, so I can go back and I can look and I can say, either in my Bible or in my diary, I've written down what God has said to me. If God says, go and start a church, go and start a chapter, and it seems so hard, but if you trust God, I want to say to you, men, we can trust God for more in our lives if we open our hearts to say, God, I'm going to trust you. If you look at the men in the Bible, none of them were perfect in God, and sometimes we want to wait for a time of perfection, but God is perfecting us all the time. He doesn't look upon our faults and say, you're making mistakes, you're unworthy. God doesn't do that. He encourages us. That's why prophecy, when it comes, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3, he prophesies, speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to the church. So we need to build one another up by what we say. We carry life and death in the power of the tongue. So as we speak that into each other, we encourage each other to go on to the end, to the destination that God has for us. You know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you. They are for good and not for evil, that you will have a future and a hope. The old King James Version says a predestination, a destination to an achieved end, that word comes, that God does have a good future for us. He does have a good hope for us. And that's what God wants us to do, is to speak into each other, see what we, when we look at one another, what do we see? We don't see faults. We need to, as Christians, see the potential, see the destination, the destiny that God has placed in each life. Because each one is different, and because we are different, God has got a different and unique way of speaking to us. God will speak to you in a way that you understand the language of the Spirit. So I encourage you, if God speaks to you a lot in dreams, write your dreams down. Prepare yourself to receive the dream at night when you go to bed. And say, God, you speak to me, I'll write it down. Don't wait until the next morning, because you'll lose some of the essence of it. As God speaks to you, wake up, get your pad out, write it down, and say, God, reveal to me what you are saying. And you can look at Scripture. There are many examples where God used dreams to speak to men and women. You know, if you look at Acts 13:2, it says, and they were together in one accord, they prayed, and the Holy Spirit said, separate for me Paul and Barnabas for the work to which I have called them to. in a simple time, you know, when we get together and we fellowship and the Holy Spirit speaks, let's trust what we hear so we can say to our brothers, God is saying, it's time for you to go out and do something. And, you know, sometimes that obscure word that comes, we don't wait on it long enough to say, God, let us be obedient to that word and trust what you're saying to us. If you look through the book of Acts, there are many examples where God used scripture to speak to men and women and encourage them. The reason I can say to you my gifting is developed is because I've given myself to it. I've said, God, I desire it. I'm zealous for it. You use me wherever I go. And I have to be alert and I have to be awake when God wants to speak at times when I'm not ready. God will often speak to me when I'm tired, when I'm in the supermarket and I don't really want to help anybody. And the Lord will say, you help that person. You speak to the man. I'll give you an example. I'm walking into the food town in Howick in Highlands Park. And I go through, there's a young man on a Saturday morning playing his guitar. And he's got his box open and people are putting money in. And as I walk past him, I'd gone, you know, quite a few paces, the Holy Spirit said, encourage that man because he needs to know me and know that I love him and I care for him. It seemed, you know, just a funny message. But I went and I shopped around and I took longer than I wanted to because I wasn't sure if that was God. But I waited and I said, okay, Lord. And when I came out, there were a few people standing around watching the man. I thought, ooh, it's easy to get past this one. 3 or 4 steps and I'm into the car park and I'm gone. But, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, and I said, Lord, I'll be courageous for you. But sometimes we have to be a bit courageous, you know. We have to say, God, I'll listen to you. This is what, interesting, I made a note of this the other day. I'll just tell you about courage. And I really believe that, you know, courage is one of the things that God wants us to have more of as men. And, you know, God spoke to Joshua and said, be strong, be courageous. And I believe God is saying that to us as men. This is what Winston Churchill said. He said, courage is the first of human qualities because it is the quality which guarantees all others. I'll say that again. Courage is the first of human qualities because it is the quality which guarantees all others. And sometimes we have to be courageous for God. We have to say, Lord, I'm going to step out. I'm going to speak to this person. I'm going to put myself out. And I don't mind if if I miss it. But, you know, often we look at the negative and we say we're going to miss it. Instead, no, I'm going to get it. I know, Lord, I'm going to get it because your spirit is in me and Christ, the hope of glory, dwells in me. So I looked at the man and I said, I walked over to him and as he finished his song and I said, I want to encourage you, brother. I said, you've got an anointing in your music. I said, you're playing and I believe that God's got more for you. You know, while you're playing, I said, I just felt that the Holy Spirit said to me, He loves you with an unending, with an everlasting love. There's no end to His love. He doesn't want you to feel rejected and feel you out here playing on your own and nobody cares what you do. The Lord cares about you. He loves you. You know, that man shared with me, he said, I was in a worship team in a church, but I got so rejected in my worship by those very brothers that I was playing with that I left the church and I felt I still enjoy my music. I'll play it in the streets. And he said, you've come along to encourage me. I said, yes, God is calling you back into the church because often iron sharpens iron. But don't run away. God wants to use you in your worship gift, in your ministry. Get back in there. So we have to say to one another, come on, we can get back in there. You see, those spiritual gifts that God gives us are, you know, the revelation gifts. I want to just touch on those because God uses me in revelation. The revelation gifts are word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Often we discern something before we actually give our word of knowledge. Now, discernment will help you. You perceive it, and discernment can come in a sort of perception way. You feel something in your spirit, and the world will call it a sixth sense. They'll call it you perceive, or is it your imagination, or are you not hearing correctly? You know, we start doubting that, but learn to trust that by testing it. Test these things. So if you get a perception about a certain thing to take place, test it. Go and share it with somebody and say, you know, I just believe you're struggling in the area of fear. Can I pray for you in that area of fear? And you start getting confirmation that what you're hearing is actually correct. then you're sharpening yourself as you listen to that. A brother might need love, and you say, you know, I just perceive that God wants you to understand that He really loves you, that you're struggling, you haven't understood a father's love, you know, because perfect love casts out fear. So if you start identifying and you perceive those things, you can then go in with a word of knowledge, and you can pray for your brother and set him free. That's what we are called to do. So we start bringing them in. We draw them into the kingdom of God so that God can start working in their lives. See, we will get visions. You will get pictures. There are a flurry of pictures in the body of Christ now. We can get them in the workplace. Learn to trust that so you can give wisdom in a time of meeting. God can use you when you're sitting in a meeting and He speaks to you. You can say, I believe God's given me wisdom for this situation. You know, Ephesians 1:17, it talks about the revelation and the knowledge and the wisdom of God that is ours as believers. And I want to pray that we can release something, because often things in the spirit are caught before they are taught. So I want you to catch something here today, and I want you to try it and live it, because, excuse me, if you can live it, you can start letting it outwork in your life. Let the Spirit of God use you to touch lives in obscure times. Don't always look for the obvious. Don't wait until you get a church. Don't wait until you're in a spiritual place. God is speaking all the time. That's like radio waves that are out there. Are we tuned in? Are our ears open to hear that the Spirit of God is speaking, and that we as men can say, yes, Lord, I heard it. I'm now going to respond to it. Because we hear, but we often don't respond. Okay, if it's a non-believer, but it's a word that resonates with your spirit, then start, you know, don't limit God. I think we are limiting God. He's a mighty God. He's a God that is, you know, it's just so big that we often restrict it to our finite mind. And God wants us to really have the ability to just trust Him to hear more. You might hear in your quiet time. You might hear in your prayer time, in your prayer closet. You could hear in the church. You could hear during the worship time. And as we encourage one another and we give direction, not only individually but corporately, or we see something for the city, or we see something for the nation, you know, if God speaks to you in that area, start trusting that and get along with brothers that can work with you to encourage your gifting to grow, because we are all gifted men of God. And I really want to say that, don't limit God in you. If we have the Holy Spirit in us, which we do, we need to know that the Holy Spirit wants to come out of us. And if He wants to come out of us, He comes out of us in what we do, in what we say, in the way we walk our walk. So speak the Word of God. Speak it into somebody's life that they can hear from God. Because God's got the individual, and He wants the individual to grow in God. I just want to look for something that I had written down here. About intuition. You know, intuition is really a secular term, but it's that intuitive ability to tune into the Spirit of God. And, you know, we know that we're made up of three parts. We are body, soul, and spirit. And our soulish realm is often what restricts us from, you know, understanding the things of the Spirit. So our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions often get in the way of what God wants to say to us, because it becomes a soulish thing. We have to deal with the flesh, because the flesh will often rise up in opposition to the spirit. Now, our spirit is an area that God, you know, there's also, I believe, three areas in our spirit. It's our commune with God. God made us to commune with Him. God communed with Adam in the cool of the day. In the cool of the morning, He spoke to him in the garden. So God's created us to have a communication with Him. If we don't commune with God, we commune with idols or with other things. Something else takes the place of God, and we start worshiping things that are not of God. If you look at man, if he doesn't worship God, that's why the first commandment God is restoring. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. So God is speaking to us about the first commandment, God first. Our family's next. And then it comes down to ministry and other works. But it's God, our family, and you know, we have to have that priority right. So if we put God first and we commune with Him, we are opening that ability for the channel, as a channel for God to speak to. The other area is our I'll talk to you about the intuitive ability to hear God. In our spirit is an ability, a perception that we have that's built in, and that normally to help guide us in the things that God. Sometimes we'll do things that we don't know why we've done them. That's the Spirit of God guiding us through so that we do things according to the perception gift that is in us. And the other area that is important is our conscience. We don't often hear many sermons about conscience. God gives us a conscience to discern between right and wrong. You know, your conscience will help you bear witness to the truth. That we have a conscience, learn to trust your conscience, and work and live by your conscience. Your conscience will guide you when there are times when you should know things and you want to weigh them up. Is this right or is this wrong? God's word, and often Paul said to Timothy, to be of a good conscience. He encouraged that. As Paul mentored Timothy, he spoke to him a lot about his conscience, because our conscience will help us to live a righteous life. And we need to, as men, have integrity, so what we say, we can do. And people will take us at our word. So I really believe as we rise up as men, we let our word be our bond. And I really sense that in this group, there are many men of integrity. But, impart that integrity to this next generation, because they need to know it. Older men are men that are called to be mentors, because God has taken you through life. He's brought you to a place where you have much to impart. Much wisdom rests upon you. So I encourage you, if each one of you got one man to mentor in the next 12 months, where could that person be of what God has put in you to mentor into their lives? You can change the next generation, because each one of you sit here with a wealth of wisdom and knowledge in God. Get hold of somebody and say, I'm going to mentor you. I'm going to encourage you. I get young men coming to say, we want time with you. And I say, come, because I know if I can put something into them and they can carry that, they can put it into the next generation. So our role is to continually find men that we can mentor in our chapters, in our home groups, in our churches, wherever we operate, in our businesses. You can speak to young men. You can identify where they are. Men need men to talk into their lives. We need to talk to one another and encourage one another and say, we are now going to help you to rise to the next level in God. I want this next generation. I say to my daughters and my son-in-laws, who are both Kiwis now, and I say, thank you, Lord, for those young men. They're great guys. And I can say to them, I want to see you achieve double what I achieved in my life. I want to impart into you the Spirit of God that you can run on, that your children, my grandchildren, will be mightier in God than I was. And we have to desire that. We have to say, I'm going to impart to them everything that is in me. And that's why when we pray for our sons, we pray for our spiritual sons, we impart something to them. You don't just lay your hands on an empty head. You say, I impart into you, leadership. I impart to you the Spirit of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I impart to you a blessing. I prayed for my son-in-law when he got married this last weekend. And I said to Luke Bro, who was the minister from Auckland, I said, I want to place a blessing on them when they get married. So he said the vows, and I came up and I laid my hands on them. I said, Father, I impart to this couple now. I bless them. May your hand be upon them. And I just really spoke that blessing that comes out of Numbers. And I said, Lord, you let your face shine upon them. Be gracious to them, Lord. Let your countenance rise up upon them. Bless them. May they know your peace. May they have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And I impart to them spiritual wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God. And I said, Lord, I impart to them faith, hope, and love into their lives. And I spoke to their relationships and I said, Lord, I encourage their relationships to be God-centered. And I impart into them the love one for another, that those around them will know the love that we should have one for another. You see, that's our role. As we bless, we don't realize how important blessing is. And I want to say to you, men, we should bless this next generation. We must bless those that we mentor. Place your hands on them and bless them in the name of the Lord. That's why in Genesis 26 and 27, when Joseph wanted that blessing, and Jacob wanted that blessing from his brother Israel. He was deceptive, but he wanted that that blessing. He knew how important it was to receive a blessing. We carry something in us that's a spiritual dimension that we need to impart to the next generation. You get your hands on their heads and lay hands on them and say, I bless you and I impart to you that you will be prosperous. See, we want that double fold, we want that twofold anointing to be passed on to the next generation. The anointing speaks about the Spirit of God in us, and it's God abiding in us. And it's Christ in us that as we stir up the anointing that is upon us, when we pray for the sick, they will be healed. When we speak to those that are bound in you know, by demonic forces, we can break the power of the enemy. Mark 16:7 says, these signs will follow those that believe. They shall cast out evil spirits. They shall speak with new tongues. That's the New Testament church. But don't wait for the church to be in the walls. I've said this to you before. The church is active in the marketplace. God is raising up men in the marketplace to be effective for Him. So these chapters that have been raised up through full gospel, God is going to use that to generate something, another generation that's going to rise up. And they're going to be mighty in God. So let the Spirit of God use you to bring those men into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They're going to come in, they're going to have a lot of head knowledge, they're going to have a lot of religious knowledge, but as you impart to them the Spirit of God, you are giving them a hope for the future, for them and for their families. I want to say there's something there for you. Let God use you in an amazing way to touch those lives and bring them into a new understanding. See, there's the inner voice and there's the audible voice of God. Maybe many of us haven't heard the audible voice of God. I've heard it once and it's very scary to hear. You don't want to hear that every day. But, you know, when God speaks to you in the inner voice and you learn to hear that still voice, cultivate that ability to say, God, I recognize your still small voice and I'm going to be obedient to it. Sometimes it can just be a time when you say, you know, if you want to hear the voice of God, just say, Lord, tell me how much you love me. Ask God that, and God will reveal Himself to you. God, how much do you love me? And you'll hear the voice of God come to you. And start recognizing that. And you try that in your quiet time. Say, God, I want to understand your voice more. I want to hear it more clearly. Speak to me. God, do you love me? And you'll hear God respond back to you. And you start identifying that voice. So when that phone rings, and somebody that you know, if your wife speaks to you on the phone, you'll know the voice. It's like when that voice of the Holy Spirit comes to me, I say, Lord, I've heard your voice. What is it that you would want me to do? When Paul was going along the Damascus Road, and that light shone upon him, and he fell off the horse, and he was on the ground. And, you know, Paul was arguing with the God, you know, with the Lord. And God said to him, he said, Lord, what is it that you will have me do? The first thing Paul did was he submitted his life to God. He said, God, what is it that you will want me to do? You see, there comes a submission of our time and our lives that we say, God, what is it you want me to do? So God said to him, go to that street called Straight, and I will send a disciple of mine to pray for you. So, of course, Paul, off he goes, and they lead him into the house in Damascus, where God then speaks to Ananias in a dream. And all it says about Ananias was he was a devout man of God, a disciple of God, and we are disciples. And God spoke to the man in a dream and said, you go to that street called Straight, and you go and pray for that brother Saul, that he may receive his sight and that he may be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Interesting. The only qualification that man had was that he was obedient and he was a disciple of God. So off he went. He laid hands on Saul. But before he went, he started arguing with the Lord. He said, I've heard what this man has done. He said, he's persecuted the Christians and he's an evil man. God said, no, he's a chosen vessel of mine. See, often we want to argue with God when God sends us to a brother or a sister about what to do. We say, Lord, they're not worthy. They're this, they're that. He's a sinner. He's, you know, we want to start arguing. God says, you go, because we never know what's going to happen when we're obedient. There's a miracle at the end of our obedience, and that's what happened. Paul became the greatest disciple that we know. He went out with an apostolic message, and we live by what he wrote here in the Word of God. It's an inspiration to us and to millions of other people, because Ananias was obedient to God. God would have had to find another Ananias if Ananias said, "No, I'm not going to go, Lord, because I know that brother, he's going to persecute me and he's going to throw me in jail." Because Paul was on a mission to go to Jerusalem to catch all those Christians and persecute them and throw them in jail. But, you know, God has a plan all along the way. Don't let, circumstances, or don't let your doubt or your prejudice put you against a brother or a sister, because you're not sure whether God wants to call him. So recognize the voice, stir up the gifts of God that are in you, and allow God to use you as a man, and say, "God, I'm available to you." God wants three things: availability, sensitivity, and obedience. So if you can, you know, open yourself to that, God's wanting your availability, which means your time. Have we got time for God? Then we can put our busy schedule aside and say, "God, I can give you some more time. I want to give you some of my time." And then we are sensitive to His Spirit's leading. Then God can use you because you are willing to take a risk for Him and go and touch that man next door, touch that man at work, that lady that's hurting. A friend of mine emailed me from America, and he said he went to the supermarket on a Sunday afternoon in a hurry to go and get a few groceries. And he said, when he was walking down the corridor, a lady pushed the trolley into the side of him and bumped him. He said he turned around very annoyed because he wanted to say to this lady, "Do you mind?" He said, but he felt the Lord say to him, "This lady is in a difficult situation. Help her." But he didn't. He said, I resisted that. And he said, I calmed down and I turned to her. He said, "Can I help you?" She said, "Yes, I need some help." He says, "My daughter is in the car. She's sick. I'm not well. I just need help. I'm desperate." So he laid hands on her and he started praying for her in the supermarket. She had he didn't know what was wrong with her initially. The Lord gave him a word of knowledge that she had a type of bladder infection, and it really was making her feel terribly awkward. And when the Lord gave him that word of knowledge, he spoke it into her life. And the lady said, "Oh, I feel better. I feel healed." And she raised her voice enough for the lady at the counter to hear it. So when the lady at the counter heard it, she got excited because she was a believer, and she went over to the microphone in the supermarket and said, "A lady has just got healed in the supermarket. If any of you want prayer, there's a man here who'll pray for you." So he said his afternoon was praying for people in the supermarket. Because of that one act of just being centered enough for God to say, "Lord," and he said he spent his afternoon, instead of grocery shopping, praying for the people in the supermarket. Now, that's how easy it can happen, just because we're willing to extend ourselves and say, "God, I'll be available for you." I'll say to you, that can happen to all of us. God will use you in a most unusual way if you say, "God, just give me that opportunity." So I want to encourage you that let's do that. Let's be open to God, because we are vessels that God wants to pour His love through. He wants to pour His Spirit through. And I want to pray a prayer for you that there will be a greater revelation and opportunity for God to use us in this next season of our lives. Because, you know, our testimony consists of these great events that God does through us. And it encourages us as we can speak to one another and say, "You know, God is using me to bring people to the Lord and to bring people into the knowledge of God." When people come and knock on my door and say, "I need deliverance, I need help, I'm struggling under a curse, my sister's died, my brother's died, and I think there's something wrong in my family." And I say, "Well, talk to me." "Well, you know, they've been struggling in Freemasonry, there's been a curse in their family." And, you know, those are the areas that we need to be sensitive, that we can come in and we can break every curse that has been upon their lives so that they can live a godly life. And people are crying out for those of us who are available to stand in the gap for them, to break the curses of the past generations, not through any fault of their own. But we get exposed to these things. And I say that there are four areas when I help people. Traumatic event that opens the door to the enemy. Fear comes in, or hurt comes in. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, church. I want to say to you, unforgiveness. I just had I wrote down during our worship time, there's somebody here that's struggling with unforgiveness towards their family. I want to say to you, release it. Give it to the Lord. Don't let unforgiveness hold you. It'll keep you in bondage. It'll hold you in a place where God can't use you because you've got a bitter spirit. Let it go. Let it go to God. And the other one was, there's a man that's struggling with disappointment in business. He's been let down by a colleague in business, and he's disappointed, and he's hurt because of that disappointment. God wants you to release that to him and give it to him and say, God, I release my brother. His intentions weren't good, but I'm not going to hold it against him. I'm going to release him. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to say, God, you deal with it, not me. Don't hold it in your spirit. And there's some of you that have been struggling in family situations where there's been separation and there's been hurt with your wife, with your spouse. God wants you to release that person, to release your wife, that she can be healed, that she can be restored. Don't hold it, men. Let it go to God. And there's another group here that, because of the hurts of the past, you're struggling with a wounded spirit. And I say to you, men, wounded spirit will stop us from going on in God. A wound in the spirit is hard to bear, the word says. And we can be healed in our spirit if we say, God, come in and heal me. Touch my spirit that I can be whole. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those in... You see, we get held in captivity by the enemy. And the other area is hidden sin. Don't let hidden sin hold you in the place of darkness. Because when the light comes in and we are able to speak out sin and say, this is where I'm struggling, it comes into the light, and the light comes to heal us, to restore us. You know, James 5 talks about confessing our trespasses one to another. That it says that the prayer of a faithful man is, we pray for one another, we may be healed. That's God's new covenant healing blessing for us. God's got an old covenant, but the new covenant blessing in James 5 is what God has called the New Testament church into. And I want to say to you, we need to move in this area. And I'll just share a little bit what James says in James 5. He says in verse 16 of chapter 5, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay. It says Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it says it did not rain on the land for 3 years. You see, God wants us to just be those men that we, as we effectively pray for one another, that we can be healed. So I want to ask you today, I want to just pray a prayer of God's revelation gifts to come upon us and to impart something into you. And then I'd like you to take a man next to you and pray for him. Just confess your trespasses one to another. Trust your brother. You don't have to give him all the facts, but you have to tell him enough to say, I need prayer today in a certain area. And we'll just do that for a few moments and then trust God to just bring restoration upon us. Because we are men of destiny. I want to say that. We are men of destiny. Okay, each one of us. So I want to impart something to you. If you can open your heart today, that God's revelation will come upon us. Let's just open our heart to the Spirit of God. I say, Spirit of God, move upon us here today. In Jesus' name, we open our hearts to you, Lord. We open our hearts to you. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the excellent greatness of His power towards us who believe according to the working of His mighty power in us? And that is my prayer for you, that, Lord, we impart wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ into our brothers, and that the eyes of the hearts would be opened to hear your voice, to see your spirit in a greater dimension than ever before. Lord, let all doubt and all fear go, that your spirit Spirit would move upon our brothers, that they will be mighty in word and deed. Lord, they will carry the sword of the Spirit that will cut to marrow and bone and bring forth your purposes, O God, for this generation. Lord, no matter what the age is, it's your availability that God wants. And Lord, we impart to our men today, God, your Spirit in a greater dimension of clarity of hearing and perception in the area of seeing the Spirit of God move in a greater way. Give them signs and wonders, eyes to see and ears to hear in the Spirit, O God. We don't want to let the flesh get in the way, Lord. We want the Spirit of God to flow freely. Revelation gifts we impart today in knowledge and wisdom and discernment, O God, upon your men in Jesus' name. Thank you that you're calling them, Lord, to arise to the next level. You are gathering your men together. You are gathering them together, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Gather to the name of the Lord Jesus, because He's the one. It's all about Jesus, and we impart to them, Lord, the love of God and the power of Jesus Christ working in them and through them for this generation, in Jesus' name. So if you'd like to stand up, get hold of a brother next to you and pray for him and pray with him for a short while, and I think that'll be a good thing to do.